I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, February 25th. There were 18 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday, with the active case total now at 189. Quincy's positivity rate remains at 3.5%, and the city is in the yellow category on the state's risk assessment map. There have been 146 deaths. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says he believes that a combination of the pandemic and inadequate salary are making it difficult to hire a new health commissioner. Koch says he's interviewed several candidates. However, one withdrew their application. Another didn't follow through with a second interview. Koch says he believes healthcare professionals are reluctant to leave their current positions out of commitment to their employers. And he says the salary of $105,000 is lower than comparable-sized communities. Ruth Jones retired as health commissioner last month after almost 2 years in that position, but almost 20 years with the city. Koch said that he's confident that the current staff of the health department can handle the workload, although he's anxious to appoint a new commissioner. Members of Weymouth's congressional delegation want federal regulators to reconsider their decision to allow the compressor station on the banks of the Four River to go into service. Congressman Stephen Lynch and Senators Ed Markey and Elizabeth Warren recently sent a letter to Richard Glick, chair of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, asking that the commission rescind the in-service authorization issued for the compressor station back in September. Four River residents against the compressor station, City of Quincy, and other petitioners have also asked the commission to revoke the authorization and reconsider its approval of the project. The commission last week voted to take a look at several issues associated with the compressor station, including whether the station's expected air emissions and public safety impact should prompt commissioners to re-examine the project. The compressor station is part of Enbridge's Atlantic Bridge project, which expands the company's natural gas pipelines from New Jersey into Canada. Since the station was proposed in 2015, residents have argued that it presents serious health and safety problems. Last fall, local, state, and federal officials called for a halt of compressor operations when two emergency shutdowns caused hundreds of thousands of cubic feet of natural gas to be released into the air. Spokesman for Enbridge says the station is currently operating safely and responsibly. The victim of a Christmas Eve car accident at Quincy Stop and Shop on Southern Artery thanked the Quincy police officers yesterday, who she says saved her life. Jacqueline Masua was hit by a car in the parking lot and trapped underneath. A group of police officers and a bystander, Quincy District Court Judge Robert Harnais, helped lift the car off her. Yesterday, Masua stood at a podium at the Quincy Police Station to thank the officers who saved her life. Officers were awarded official citations from Everett Mayor Carlo DiMaria, Masua's cousin, for their unwavering courageousness in saving her life. In recalling the day of the accident, Masua said she remembers a woman who prayed with her, and then the officers came over to lift the car off her and told her she'd be okay. Officer Michael Dugan said that two officers happened to be at the scene of the accident by chance and called for help from additional officers. Masua said that ever since she got out of the hospital, she suffered injuries, including a few broken ribs, a burn on her foot, as well as road rash. She's wanted to go and thank the officers who helped save her life. A car crashed into a home in Randolph last night, prompting a large response from police. Local police were responding to a report of a carjacking that turned into a state police chase, where a white sedan ended up barreling through a fence and into the front porch of a home along North Main Street. Officers removed the driver, a male juvenile, who appeared to be struggling, and placed him in the back of a cruiser. Minor injuries were reported, although it's unclear who was hurt. The family who lives in the home said they're shaken, but okay. Crash prompted authorities to shut down the busy roadway for a short time. Canton police releasing a new video of what they describe as a disgusting and targeted shooting that took place on a busy roadway over the weekend. The video was taken by a witness and shows a shooting incident that took place in broad daylight on Route 138 near homes, apartments, and businesses. Two cars are seen colliding in the street before one of the cars spins out onto a side street. An occupant of that vehicle then walks into frame with what appears to be a gun, fires several shots into the other car. By the time officers arrived, both cars were gone, but they were able to track down the abandoned vehicles a short time away. One of them had six bullet holes. The drivers and passengers in the cars all fled on foot. The video indicates the incident started as a road rage incident, and police believe it was a targeted shooting, which they call intentional and incredibly brazen. Police say they are confident they will apprehend the suspects. A former Massachusetts high school head football coach has filed a federal lawsuit against three school administrators claiming that his termination was a violation of his First Amendment rights after he expressed concerns about the suitability of coursework on politics, race, gender, equality, and diversity for seventh graders. Former head coach of Dedham High School, David Flynn of Braintree, is seeking damages after Dedham administrators decided not to reappoint him as head coach in January. Administrators cited his significant, repeatedly expressed philosophical differences with the direction of the school district in their decision. Administrators didn't clarify what the differences were when asked by the publication and said that it was a personnel matter. The lawsuit claims that Flynn was exercising his First Amendment right to raise concerns over the curriculum for his seventh grade daughter. One of Flynn's concerns was that a teacher used a digital cartoon of herself wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. He said the material was not being taught objectively. Flynn and his wife met with Dedham Public School Superintendent Michael Welch before ultimately removing their children from the school district in October. Flynn was vocal with his disappointment and shared his thoughts in an email to school committee members. A construction company is shut down in Boston after two of its workers were killed in an accident in the financial district. A truck backed into 28-year-old Jordan Romero and 32-year-old Carlos Gutierrez, knocking them into a ditch. The two men worked for Atlantic Coast Utilities. The accident on High Street's being investigated by both the district attorney and OSHA, as the families of the two men are desperate for answers about how they could lose their lives on the job. Family members and friends of the victims returned to the scene last night with flowers and candles. They worked for Atlantic Coast Utilities, a company previously investigated by OSHA for safety violations and fined thousands of dollars. District Attorney Rachel Rollins says an investigation will determine if this was a crime or an accident. After many Massachusetts residents had rough and rocky experiences accessing the state's vaccine website last week, Governor Baker says officials have bolstered the online portal to deal with the rush of users hoping to score an appointment today. Among the changes, Baker said, is a so-called digital waiting room on the website for the state's seven mass vaccination sites, intended to prevent the types of outages that occurred last Thursday. The feature will send some users to a web page with information about when they can proceed when the site experiences especially high traffic. According to the governor, the site will also have bolstered server capacity to help manage heavier traffic. The changes come after the state's vaccine website completely crashed for 2 hours and continued to experience difficulties throughout the day last Thursday after the administration announced that residents as young as 65 and individuals with certain medical conditions could sign up for appointments, effectively increasing the population eligible to be vaccinated by nearly a million people. The fiasco led state officials to trade blame with one of its website vendors. Residents did eventually manage to book about 60,000 appointments. Lowe's is planning to hire about 800 people to work in Boston area stores. The home improvement chain wants to fill seasonal roles and permanent full and part-time positions. Lowe's plans to hire more than 50,000 workers nationwide in the spring. Lowe's hired about 90,000 workers to permanent positions over the past year. An anonymous donor has contributed $50,000 to Interfaith Social Services of Quincy's HomeSafe program and has agreed to match another $50,000 in donations. Interfaith Executive Director Rick Doan says the donation came in after they shared the story of a Weymouth man who was spared from becoming homeless by the HomeSafe program. The man lost his job as a fire alarm repairman due to the pandemic and was facing eviction before the HomeSafe program stepped in and provided emergency assistance. Doan says the story moved the donor to make that contribution and also agree to match $50,000 and future donations to their HomeSafe program. Well, Republicans rallied solidly against Democrats' proposed $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill. As lawmakers awaited a decision by the Senate's parliamentarian that could bolster or potentially kill a pivotal provision hiking the federal minimum wage. Despite their paper-thin congressional majorities, Democratic leaders were poised to push the sweeping package through the House tomorrow. They were hoping the Senate, where changes seemed likely, would follow quickly enough to have legislation on President Biden's desk by mid-March. By late yesterday, not one Republican in either chamber had publicly said he or she would back the legislation. GOP leaders were honing attacks on the package as a job killer that does too little to reopen schools or businesses shuttered for the coronavirus pandemic, and was not only wasteful but also even unscrupulous. Now, February is usually the peak of flu season, with doctors' offices and hospitals packed with suffering patients. But not this year. Flu has virtually disappeared from the U.S., with reports coming in at far lower levels than anything seen in decades. Experts say that measures put in place to fend off the coronavirus, mask wearing, social distancing, and virtual schooling, are big factors in preventing a twin-demic of flu and COVID-19. A push to get more people vaccinated against flu probably helped as well, as did fewer people traveling, according to experts. Capitol Police knew armed extremists were primed for violence at the iconic building on January 6th and even provided officers with assault rifles to protect lawmakers, according to the acting chief. But the wild invasion of the Capitol was far worse than police expected, leaving them unprepared to fight it off. A day earlier, her predecessor as chief testified the police expected an enraged but more typical protest crowd of Donald Trump supporters. But the acting chief, Yogananda Pittman, said intelligence collected ahead of the riot prompted the agency to take extraordinary measures, including the special arming of officers, intercepting radio frequencies used by the invaders, and deploying spies at the Ellipse rally where President Trump was sending his supporters marching to the Capitol to, quote, fight like hell. President Biden signing an executive order intended to boost manufacturing jobs by strengthening U.S. supply chains for advanced batteries, pharmaceuticals, critical minerals, and semiconductors. The U.S. has become increasingly reliant on imports of these goods, a potential national security and economic risk that the Biden administration hopes to address with the planned 100-day review and the possibility of increased domestic production. However, Biden will also look to work with international partners to ensure a stable and reliable supply chain. President Biden planning to distribute millions of face masks to Americans in communities hard hit by the coronavirus beginning next month as part of his efforts to ensure equity in the government's response to the pandemic. Biden, who, like Donald Trump's administration, considered sending masks to all Americans, is instead adopting a more conservative approach, aiming to reach underserved communities and those bearing the brunt of the outbreak, Trump's administration shelved the plan entirely. Biden's plan will distribute masks not through the mail, but instead through federally qualified community health centers and the nation's food bank and food pantry systems. Check of business news this morning, and stocks rebounded. The Dow is up 424 points. The NASDAQ rose 132. The S&P added 44. Asian stocks followed Wall Street higher after the Fed said the U.S. Central Bank is in no hurry to withdraw support for the economy. The dollar is down. The euro rose. Oil at over $63 a barrel. In sports, Celtics lose to Atlanta 127-112, and the Bruins take on the Islanders in New York tonight at 7. Forecast from the National Weather Service for today, mostly sunny, breezy, with a high in the mid-40s, clear, cold tonight, low 25, lots of sunshine tomorrow, chilly with a high of 37 degrees, rain on Saturday, high 46, and cloudy on Sunday with a high around 50. For the boater today, waves a couple of feet, a northwest wind gusting to 30 knots at times, and a high tide at 9:43 this morning. Sun rose at 6:24 and sets at 5:29. So again, sunny, breezy today with highs in the mid-40s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Thursday, February 25th.